The message of the morning is this. The one abandoned by all his friends will not abandon his friends. The one abandoned by all his friends will not abandon his friends. Over the years, I have heard many people tell me many stories, and a lot of them have been fairly sad stories, as I'm sure many of you have heard some fairly sad stories. I've heard from people who were parents who had special needs children, and after they have this special needs child, whether this child has Down syndrome or something else, suddenly all their close friends that they used to hang out with don't want to hang out with them. They don't have any need for them, and they feel abandoned by their friends. I've talked to people who married for money and left their spouse because they found out there wasn't any money or they spent all the money. Husbands leave their wives. Wives leave their husbands. People abandon people. Men abandon women. Women abandon men. Parents abandon their children. Children abandon their parents. We've all seen it. We've seen friends betray friends and leave them for it just in their wake. And in today's culture, the cancel culture we have today, somebody gets denounced and all of their friends pick up their electronic pitchforks and join the Twitter mob. None of this is new. None of this is new. False friends are not new. Betrayers are not new. Abandoners are not new. The first murder was a fratricide. The first murder was a brother killing a brother. People betraying those close to them is not new. And all throughout history, false friends and traitors have existed, and they have been hated and have been considered the worst kind of sinner, the worst kind of person, the worst of the worst. Dante puts traitors in the lowest pit of hell. And all of us, every single person in this room, has been betrayed or abandoned. In a small way or in a great way, everyone in this room has been betrayed or abandoned, whether by a mean girl in sixth grade or by your husband at 60. False friends and traitors have hurt us all. And if we're honest, if we're truly honest, all of us at one time have betrayed or abandoned a friend. All of us have been betrayed and betrayer. All of us have been abandoned and abandoner, but Jesus will never betray. Jesus will never abandon. Jesus is the betrayed. He is the capital B betrayed. He is the capital A abandoned. Anyone who is betrayed is only betrayed because in some way they are like Jesus. Anyone who is abandoned by their friends is only abandoned insofar as they are like how Jesus was abandoned. And yet, Jesus, not only is he the capital B betrayed and the capital A abandoned, but he is the only one who will never betray or abandon because he is the capital F friend. All friendship is only friendship because it is somehow like the friendship Jesus shows us. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is perfect. Jesus has every reason to betray and to abandon and to not be a friend, and yet Jesus will never betray. He will never abandon, and he is always, always a friend. Let's look at the text, and we are going to move rather hurriedly through it this morning. Beginning in verse 43, just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, again, a reminder, he is one of the 12. This continues to be reiterated. Mark wants us to know, this wasn't some peripheral disciple. This wasn't some disciple who was just on the edges of Jesus' ministry who decided to betray him. He was one of the 12, one of the special men who Jesus called. Remember, we have Jesus calling his disciples on a mountaintop. He brings them up and he calls out the 12 specifically. And Mark tells us when Judas Iscariot is called that he was the one who betrayed him. One of Jesus' inner circle is the one who betrayed him. And Mark wants us to remember this, that Judas was one of the 12. Judas was in the inner circle. Judas was a close friend. And as John tells us, Mark doesn't tell us this, but as John tells us, Judas sat in the seat of honor at the Passover. And Judas arrives, And with him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders, and they are coming to arrest Jesus. Everything has come to a head. All of the counseling together, the plotting, the planning, this is all coming to fruition. Throughout Mark's gospel, we see that whenever Jesus has a major confrontation with the Pharisees or with the priests or with the scribes or the elders, every time he does, they counsel together. They go out and they plot how they're going to kill Jesus. And here, they have finally put their plot in motion. They have planned, they have plotted, they have schemed, and now they have put it in motion. How? By sending one of Jesus' inner circle, by sending one of the 12 to come in the middle of the night, in the middle of the highest holy holiday of Israel, in the middle of the greatest celebration in Israel's history, and they have come to arrest him. And Judas, to make sure in the dark of night they get the right man, Judas has arranged a sign. He has arranged a signal. He will come up and he will kiss Jesus. He will betray the Son of Man with a kiss. The word for kiss is also the word for love, to be a friend. It's the verb phileo. It's a form of that verb. In fact, it's a direct use of that verb, the verb to love someone, to be their friend, phileo. That's the verb that's used. Judas comes up and he friendship loves Jesus. That's his sign that he is going to betray him. That's the sign that's the man they're supposed to arrest, is whoever Judas comes forward and gives friendship love to, that's the one to arrest. And he says to them, the one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. The word is asphalos. Asphalos, it's where we get the word asphalt. It means lead him away securely. Make sure he doesn't escape. You're going to have to be ready. You're going to have to be prepared. And so he arrives, going at once. Immediately he goes to Jesus. And Judas said, Rabbi. He calls him Rabbi. He calls him teacher. The word rabbi in that culture didn't simply mean teacher. It didn't simply mean mentor. It meant master. One from whom I have learned. One to whom I recognize superiority in the law. The one that I recognize as my master. The one who has the right to tell me what to do. Who I follow. That word is a powerful word. And Judas comes up and he kisses him and calls him rabbi. He calls him master. And yet that kiss is the sign of betrayal. That kiss, when he calls him master and Lord, that is the way that he betrays him. Judas is the betrayer. Judas is the false friend. And as we talked about last week and before, Judas goes to eternal hell. Judas goes to eternal punishment because of his betrayal of Jesus. And the men seized Jesus and they arrested him. And then one of them, standing near, drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Again, notice the humility that Peter, remember, Mark is Peter's gospel. Mark is Peter's gospel. And does Peter get his name here? No. No, Mark just writes that one of those standing near. He doesn't say Peter. Why not? Why not? Why doesn't Peter make sure that we know that Peter really did want to go and fight and die for Jesus? Because we know what happens in the next section. We know that Peter would abandon his Lord. We know that Peter would walk away from his master. We know that Peter would walk away from the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, am I leading a rebellion? The word again is this word, you come upon me as a bandit, is the literal Greek expression. As a bandit, do you come upon me? And remember, that word bandit, we have already seen that before. And we will see it again, because Jesus is going to be crucified between two bandits. He is going to have his life exchanged. Instead of Barabbas, who was a bandit, Jesus will die. They treat Jesus like a bandit, but he's not a bandit. The people cry out that they want Barabbas. They want a bandit instead of Jesus. And so they crucify their Lord. And when they crucify Jesus, they place him between two bandits. Mark is emphasizing this word. Mark wants us to see this. And Jesus says, you come upon me as against a bandit? You come with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day we were with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you didn't arrest me. Jesus says, you come in the middle of the night on the Passover to arrest me with swords and clubs as if I were a highwayman, as if I were a murderer or a robber. This is how you come? And he rebukes them, one final rebuke towards these people. And does Jesus call down the 12 legions of angels? No. Does Jesus smite them with the sword of his mouth? No. He simply says, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. The scriptures must be fulfilled. And he allows himself to be arrested. And after he allows himself to be arrested, everyone deserted him and fled. All of his friends abandon him. One of the 12 betrays him, and the rest of them abandon him. The great friend, the true friend, the only friend is abandoned. He is betrayed. And they go so far in their flight from Jesus, we read in verse 51 that a young man, we believe this is John Mark himself, and I think there's good evidence to believe that this is John Mark himself, the one who wrote this gospel, a young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus, and when they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. They were so terrified, they were in such a rush to get away from Jesus that they ran away naked. They were so unwilling. Jesus told them, he says, tonight they will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And they say, no, Jesus will never abandon you. And they did. Every single one of them did. Every single one of his friends abandoned him. And Jesus says that this is to fulfill the scriptures. Not the scriptures singular. This is to fulfill the scriptures, plural. Turn with me to Psalm 88. This is one of the scriptures, one of the many scriptures that is being fulfilled here. In Psalm 88, we read a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. For the director of music, according to Mahalath Lenoth, a maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves, Selah. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? They will. Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction? It will be. Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? They shall be. But I cry out to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and my loved ones from me. And darkness is my closest friend. No matter how true those words were for Heman the Ezrahite, they receive their fullest fulfillment in Christ. Jesus is the abandoned. Jesus is the betrayed. He is the abandoned and the betrayed par excellence. Capital A, capital B. No one has ever known betrayal like Jesus. No one has ever known abandonment like Jesus. Heman the Ezrahite, he knew it. He understood what it meant a little bit. But Jesus fully knows what it means to be abandoned. Jesus fully knows what it means to be betrayed because Jesus never sinned. Jesus never did anything deserving of abandonment or betrayal, and yet his friends did. All of his life, he was holy and righteous. All of his life, he faced death. All of his life, he faced betrayal, and yet he never sinned. He never did anything to deserve it, and yet he was abandoned. abandoned and betrayed. He was abandoned and betrayed. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. We find out what Jesus' life. We see another scripture that was fulfilled in Jesus' life. In verse 7, we see he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was oppressed and afflicted, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We read that in verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The beautiful words of Handel's Messiah tell us that he was despised. He was rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in their death. Though he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And the Lord makes him a guilt offering. No one has ever known betrayal or sorrow or abandonment or sadness like Jesus has. No one. The old spiritual says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows means that both no one is aware, no one but Jesus is aware of our suffering. Nobody is aware of our sorrow. Nobody's aware of our trouble. Nobody else is aware of it but Jesus. And it also means that no one has experienced it and can sympathize with it like Jesus has and like Jesus can. Nobody knows means nobody is aware, but also nobody knows. Nobody understands our sorrow. Nobody understands our distress and our trouble. Nobody knows what it means to be betrayed and abandoned and to face trouble and affliction like Jesus, because he has faced it. And because Jesus does know and Jesus does care, we can come to him. Because he will not ever abandon or betray. The beautiful words of How Firm a Foundation say that soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, he will not desert to his foes. Jesus will never betray. Jesus will never abandon. He is the capital F friend. He is the friend par excellence. And he is the great high priest, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 through 16, 14 through 16. We read, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every need you have, Jesus has faced. Every trouble you have, Jesus has faced. Every temptation, every trial, every sorrow, Jesus has faced it and Jesus has conquered it. He can sympathize and he can save. He can sympathize and he can save. He is and was like us in every way, sin excepted. He is like us in every way and yet superior to us in every way. He is perfectly able to sympathize, and he is perfect in that he never sinned. Jesus is our friend, and he is the friend who will never abandon. He is the friend who will never betray. He is the betrayed who will never betray. He is the abandoned who will never abandon. He is the friend who sticks closer to a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. In closing today, I'd like us to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, hymn number 302. And I would like us to sing it a cappella, no instruments. And I'd like us to sing this as a prayer. We're going to sing these words as a prayer to God, recognizing that every one of us has been betrayed. Everyone in this room, you know what it feels like to be betrayed. Everyone in this room, you know what it feels like to be abandoned. And maybe there are people in this room who know what it feels like. Maybe you've got a friend who's turned on you. Maybe you've got a child who won't speak with you. Maybe you've got somebody who's hurt you. Somebody you trusted has hurt you. We've all experienced this. And if you're not going through that right now, let's praise Jesus Christ that he loves us and cares for us, that he is the friend. He is the only friend. Let's sing this as a prayer. Hymn number 302.